Yeah, never apologize for being GNG. Fair break, break, man. You understand?
All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. My name is Keith, here once again with my buddies, Chuck and John in the flesh. Gentlemen, how are we?
Hey now.
Chuck with the Hank Kingsley.
Love it.
I like that it's becoming your thing as I work my way through the Larry Sanders Show for the first time.
Yeah. No, it was also heavily used on the Howard Stern Show.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, he loves it.
Who did that, Baba Booey?
No, he did it.
I actually just watched an episode that Howard Stern was on of the Larry Sanders Show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's turned into an asshole.
That's not surprising.
Yeah. I thought he was great for a long time, and now he's on The Voice, and, you know.
Is he on The Voice?
Or something. No, not The Voice.
Christ,
he's like America's Got Talent or something. I'm sorry. I'm already blowing up Keith's bleep button.
Yeah, what's going on here?
Sorry. I usually am very more reserved. But, yeah. F. Howard Stern.
Well, I mean,
good God.
Once you have a sustained amount of success where you're just making money, I mean, well, it doesn't even matter anymore. You just, I get...
He has his own Sirius station.
Like, I understand...
He probably has his own satellite.
Yeah, I understand Stern not being true to kind of what started, because what's the point? He can now just go through the motions and get paid tons of money. And
I know.
How does anyone turn that down?
Chuck's ex-wife once stalked Robin Givens.
She did. No. Robin Givens.
Or was accused of.
Yeah, she was accused of stalking. We worked in New York for a few years, me and my ex-wife, and she worked at a hospital. Robin was at that hospital. My wife was outside because she didn't get service inside the hospital. And my wife said, "Hey, Robin, what's going on? I'm a big fan. My husband loves your show." Robin says, "I don't know what you're talking about." Then she gets into a car with two other people. Robin has her assistant call security and say that my ex-wife was taking pictures of her. Now, I hate my ex-wife. She did not do this.
Right.
She
right,
took
right,
no yeah, pictures. Yeah, yeah. She didn't care, really. She told me that night. She's like, "I saw Robin. It was kind of weird." She said,
"Innocent."
She didn't know who she was. And then the next day, they called her into security. So, Robin Givens trying to get my wife.
Not really into the walk up hello.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Real shady. But yeah, whatever.
Maybe she should have dropped a "Hey Now."
That's what she needed to do.
Showed that true fandom.
Yeah. But then she had cancer, so I couldn't hate her. You know?
Oh, I can hate people with cancer.
That's a really... I'm honest, do people today know who Robin Givens is? Does a 26-year-old listener of Fast Break Breakfast have any idea?
No way.
Because I remember watching the Howard Stern Show.
I'm more of a Jackie the Joke Man Martling
guy.
Was
it on E or Bravo? You know.
Yeah.
I just wish everyone would remember Pig Vomit.
Pig Vomit from WN. Well,
they do know that. We've referenced that several times.
We do.
With the Fast Break.
Still Paul Giamatti's greatest performance.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
It's much better than his performances now as scuzzy, duplicitous manager, which is the only role he plays any longer.
He makes it pretty good. Well, John, how are you doing? Anything going on? John showed up in 55-degree weather wearing a leather jacket and black leather OJ gloves.
I was planning to kill you.
It looks like one of those things where you accidentally, like he was going to, is it garrote?
That's the word. We can't decide yet.
Yeah, yeah. Who's gonna Garrett me from behind? And I happen
very
to
similar
see him.
To Andre Roberson.
Right. And so John just kind of casually puts the garrote back in his pocket, takes his gloves off. "Hey Keith, how's it going?" Yeah. So, good radio. Nice Coca Cola.
Crisp.
Have you had any breakfast before that Coca Cola, John?
Sure enough.
What'd you have?
I had a sesame bagel with cream cheese.
Sounds very...
Paul Giamatti.
Straight down. Yeah, very Paul Giamatti. Yeah.
Well, I went to Hardee's.
Oh, did you self-service kiosk?
I did self-service kiosk. It had the chicken cordon bleu biscuit. Ooh. I'm sorry, it's the ham, bacon, and Swiss.
Oh.
Basically, a chicken cordon bleu with a chicken. I mean, say it's chicken, too.
It's just, yeah. There
That's
is
cordon
chicken?
Bleu.
Yeah, there's a chicken...
Patty?
A chicken patty, then bacon and Swiss.
Handmade
is
patty.
Is it inside the chicken?
No, it's not. It's
so it's
top.
Not inside.
No, they didn't go. They didn't go full. You know, like
Schwan's truck.
Yeah,
it's probably.
I love the Schwan's truck more than I loved Santa Claus as a child. I'd run out to that man, and be like, "Chicken Kiev, peppermint ice cream."
Yeah. So Hardee's, I know you're trying to steal from the labor force via automated food. Ordering gives you 10% off too, which is sick.
No, it's grotesque.
It's awful. They basically are telling the people
there should be,
who work there, this is how much you're worth.
If Bernie Sanders was in charge, it would cost 5% more to use a self-serve kiosk. Right. We can't be cutting the working man out.
And it's like having someone who works for less with a sign on them that say, I work for less, right in front of you, and they never complain, never take a break.
It's like having
never go to the bathroom.
It's like putting duct tape over the mouths of the Walmart greeters. Twisted.
Some sort of saw, like... capitalist Saw movie.
I had a vaguely sad breath. I had leftover bacon. I guess that's okay. I mean, we had a little bit of snow earlier in the week, so we actually had a midday breakfast lunch feast.
I think the only acceptable use of leftover bacon is bacon bits.
Yeah, it could be. Or no.
Otherwise, it is just kind of
bacon fat.
Well, that's a different beast.
It is.
I'm talking about the actual bacon, not the
process,
the cast-offs.
Right. I actually ate so much bacon on this day, like 2 days ago, that I think I don't need a lot of bacon. I know a lot of people, like the Homer Simpsons of the world. It's
right.
It's like this glorified perfect food.
Oh, not even that. Like, I think Vice has a bacon channel now.
I don't really care for it, but I was hungry. You know, I was eating lunch. I ate like 9 pieces, splitting headache later. And apparently, I didn't know. So a bacon hangover is a thing. Like
9 pieces of bacon?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
That's a lot.
That's like
of
my
sodium.
That's my Shoney story.
Yeah.
When your
dad whooped you in public.
my best friend was in town last week, and my old lady really likes his cooking.
Uh-huh.
And she asked for him to cook several times, and she always asked me why my cooking doesn't taste like his cooking when ostensibly we're doing the same thing. He travels with bacon grease. Brings it with him to cook with.
Like in a glass jar? How was that transport?
He's got like a scary nuclear cylinder looking thing. he brought 2 coolers with him when he came to my house.
It's like
he has 2 children, Keith. So his literal vacation is just go to oldest friend's house for 5 days, not have children.
I imagine Nedry unpacking the dino embryos. Yeah,
it was in a Barbasol can.
All right, well, those were our breakfasts. After our breakfast, we go to the breakfast in bed. Apologies. This is our chance to make right what we might have gotten wrong on any previous episode. Does anyone have anything they need to apologize for?
I'm not apologizing for myself, but I'd like to apologize to any and all hotel attendants or turndown crews in the cities of Moscow and Chicago. As I know, Trump was in one. And D Rose was in the other very recently. So, sorry. Hope your life improves.
And you have hazmat suits.
I want to slide right past. I can't even joke. I just want to not think about it.
I get it. But so it's too juicy for me not to think about it.
It's very simple. Just avoid any screen of any kind. Also radios.
Right.
If you can do those 2 things.
Well, yeah. I've already set up filters.
Don't talk any people either.
I've already set up filters on Twitter because I'm just trying to enjoy my NBA Twitter.
Right.
And it's bringing me down.
I've never learned how to use those filters. I need to do that.
It's probably the only way I could enjoy it.
They don't work great. I'm going to move on by doing my apology. It's not actually something I said on the show. It actually was some of my actions on NBA Twitter. After we record the show and before you hear it, on Wednesday night, the Thunder and the Grizzlies will play. In the last meeting of the Thunder and Grizzlies, apparently Andre Roberson, I believe we've determined it's pronounced.
Oh, yeah, he was unhappy.
Andre Roberson thought that the Grizzlies disrespected the Thunder by continuing to launch threes in the fourth quarter, particularly Troy Daniels, who hit 6 three-pointers in the fourth quarter.
That's the only thing Troy can do.
So my thought was, saying you're disrespected by the 10th man on a roster who's playing garbage time
right.
is pretty ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not you're leaving your best players in. This is, you've cleared your bench, and now this shooter is shooting threes. So I'm tweeting like, that's certainly a take to be offended by this. However, I went back and watched the game. Very disrespectful. Troy Daniels is pulling up, like, so they're up like 26 with 2 minutes left. He's pulling up from 25 feet. Like,
Kyle Singler's face.
With like 21 seconds on the shot clock, nails it. Like they get the ball back. There's 70 seconds left. He fires up with 19 seconds on the shot clock. And you're like, oh, yeah, come to think of it, like I was thinking in my mind, there's no way a team could be disrespected by Troy Daniels. What's, and I was like, yeah, that was.
What's Troy going to do when it's like Kyle Singler, Nick Collison, Ray LaFrentz out on the court against him? It's time to make it rain.
Yeah, so he did make it rain. It's still, I mean, I believe the argument is there that, like, if Brandon Wright and Deonte Davis were healthy, Troy Daniels is like the 11th or 12th guy.
Yeah.
But still, the idea of being disrespected, and this isn't a dunking or shooting on the last possession while you're dribbling it out. It's like he was shooting with 2 minutes left, but still. So
here's my apology. Last week, I jumped down Carmelo Anthony's throat. And prior to this podcast
about 8 hours later,
prior to this podcast being completely edited, Carmelo goes for 30, 11, and 7 with only 2 turnovers.
Yeah.
On 10 of 23 shooting. Great, great night for Melo.
Have some of that.
We knew it was happening. I mean, you said when you were putting down Carmelo Anthony, I'm going to apologize for this. And then not even before we could deliver this podcast to our listeners.
Prophecy fulfilled.
Melo went out and kind of, I mean, they did lose the game.
They did lose to the Greek Freaks. Tremendous and clutch. What was that giant? It was like if a praying mantis learned like the Dirk, like
Super Saiyan step back.
Step back. It was ridiculous. He stepped back from like almost the middle of the like paint Bucks to the top of the key.
Bucks are so weird right now.
Oh no,
I can't figure them out. Their net rating over the last, I don't know, like month or two is like extremely, like it's like elite almost. Mm-hmm. But they're hovering around 500. They're beating some good teams. They keep dropping some weird games.
Giannis gets the Deer Island flu and they beat the Spurs.
Right. Michael Beasley goes off.
Right.
And they beat vintage, the Spurs down.
Vintage Bees. But they are a weird team, but they're young. And I think all those things, you know, when your best player is 22, that it seems, oh yeah, he's been in the league for a while, but he's still a young kid who's got to start making good decisions late in games, and he's been doing it. But he has to do it consistently. When they get there, then I think
Chris
all this
Middleton's
stuff,
22 years old.
Although reports are Chris Middleton is going to return before the end of the season.
Ooh.
Go ahead and pick him up in fantasy, Keith.
I already got him in my...
Stash him on the
keeper
bench.
Keeper league.
In my keeper league where I started 0-8 on the season.
Super deep sleeper keeper.
You must bet we picked him up. All right. Those were our breakfast in bed apologies. Before we get to our steak and eggs, I want to tell you guys about Loot Crate. Are you on a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles? Well, Loot Crate brings you between 4 to 6 of the coolest curated mystery items every month straight to your doorstep. This month's theme is Origins. We have awesome and exclusive items from your old school favorites. See where it all started and explore the iconic Origins with historic items featuring Superman, Captain America, Mario, and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, including, as always, the monthly t-shirt and pin. So make sure you head to lootcrate.com/fastbreak and enter code FASTBREAK to save on any new subscription today. Also want to remind you guys about our buddies, the Over and Back Classic NBA Podcast. Rich and Jason do a great job telling stories of the NBA and ABA past, filling in some of those dark corners that you might not know about in the league's history. It's also very good for us to learn about the things that we get wrong on our game of scones. So make sure you listen to Over and Back Classic NBA Podcast. All right, now for our steak and eggs best thing. What's the best thing you saw in the last week?
Boogie, boogie, boogie. Boogie on down to B.
Boogie, oogie, oogie.
So, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
Yes. A lot of stories about Boogie Cousins. I'm not even sure where you're going to go with this.
So, here's my favorite one this week. Boogie says and promises that if he is named to the All-Star game, he will release an R&B album.
To me, that sounds like a threat not to vote for him.
Ooh. Sheer curiosity want to know what a Boogie Cousins R&B album sounds like.
That's like if I go to a party and someone's like, hey, do you want me to play a song? I'm like, I will give you money not to play a song.
Oh, that happened to me yesterday.
This is Bluto from Animal House over here. Look, that's all well and good, but is that even close to as awesome as the Joel Embiid NBA vote
to get a deal?
Oh, yeah, he's trying
Come
to get
on.
A...
That's charming. See, that's charming.
Secret celebrity date, right?
Yeah, but is it? It could be a little creepy.
DeMarcus Cousins doing his little vanity project. Okay, maybe you're right. Maybe it is creepy.
What I don't... Does DeMarcus already have his... Does he already have, like 12 original songs in the can? He's just like, you know, I'm going to lay these down if I get in the All-Star game.
It's just him beatboxing with his butt over Dame Lillard spitting hot fire.
Could be.
Joel Embiid even got the vote of our P-E-O-T-U-S.
Oh, did he?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone who loves
the
basketball...
The soon leader of the free world.
The soon leader of the free world. If everyone, I think anyone who loves basketball loves the old Joel. He's just a throwback. He sounds like, you know, kind of like Mutombo when he talks.
Oh.
He's got the cute, it's like a cute.
He's a lot like Mutombo, because if you recall, that great man once asked, who wants to sex Mutombo?
And he's doing it in the social
Joel
media.
Joel Embiid just does it just in your DMs.
He did say recently in an interview talking about, like, is he looking for some serious relationship? He's like, no, I'm young. I want to slide into DMs and have fun. Like, yeah, all right.
He's so aware.
Very, very straightforward.
He's a brilliant dude. He's, you know,
falling after the great Chandler Parsons.
It's really hard to be funny in another language, you know? And he's like, he's a murderer in it.
Best thing I saw all week, easily, is Rajon Rondo getting benched on his own bobblehead night. That is, I haven't thought much of Fred Hoiberg so far in his coaching career. Deeply impressed by that.
How many times do you think they announced it on the Jumbotron?
The bobblehead night was circled on the calendar like weeks ago when the Rondo issue started. Like,
uh-oh, here it comes.
You guys know there's a Rondo bobblehead night coming, and he's just sitting on the bench getting DMPs, and everyone's like, bobblehead night's next week, what's going to happen? And so it came, and Hoiberg stood strong.
Strangely, it seems that thanks to player coach Taj Gibson's wants and what he wants to happen, sounds like Rondo's going back into the rotation after his decent night the other night.
Well, on Tuesday night, I turned on the TV. I tweeted something to the effect of, I saw that Isaiah the Cannonball was right out there. Cannonball and Bobby Portis and Rajon Rondo were all on the court at the same time, and they were up like 45-30. And I was like, what is going on? Like, how is that possible?
Even make sense. Yeah. Well,
Bulls are a really bizarre team. Like, their best 3-point shooter, it's not the big, huge white guy named McDermott. It's some weird alien named Bobby Portis. Like, they're just a bizarre team, but they seem much better without Rondo out there, obviously. But after that good game and Taj Gibson, who as we'll get to in my worst of the week, controls the Bulls, he wants him back in the lineup. And Hoiberg, with Taj Gibson's hand up his butt, is like, oh, yeah, Rondo's coming back in the lineup.
I mean,
he'll be
know.
Back in the rotation.
I don't know what you do. I guess you got to play him if you're going to showcase him.
They were playing so well without him.
They were playing fine, but Jerian Grant's not actually good.
Right,
you kind of hoped maybe he would be good, and Michael Carter Williams is also not
MC Dub,
not really a point guard, or he's just
not sure what he is.
Yeah, I don't know what he is.
He's annoying church league player.
He's not going to get any play when Wade and Jimmy Buckets come back.
Well, I mean, he will, I think, because they play Jimmy Butler so much at the three, and Jimmy Butler's been great, but he got sick. And in that game the other day where they were playing, there was no Wade or Butler.
The whole Rondo thing's pretty fun though, because Rondo is like the anti-Boogie with reporters. Like, he doesn't get mad. He just gets more, like, caustic and witty.
What?
Like, they asked him, like, remember after Hoiberg had said that he was looking pretty slow and that's why he was benching him? The first thing the reporters asked him was, like, how did you feel out there, Rajon? He goes, fast.
Speaking of the Boogie, I thought your Boogie thing was going to be his most recent after their game, where the local reporters were asking him if he wanted to be in Sacramento, and he's like, yeah, I want to be in Sacramento. It's a great place. This is where I want to be.
He flipped his grip on him.
He sounded very unconvincing. It was kind of hilarious. But then he did. He flipped the script on him, grabbed the mic, and says, do you want me to be in Sacramento? And one of the reporters was like, he's like, I always have. And then he turns it to the other guy. The guy's like, no.
Yeah.
And the guy says, no.
I wonder if he was a reporter for the Sacramento Bee.
Well, right. I mean, I've spoken ill of Boogie a ton.
Yeah, you could probably apologize to Boogie every single week this year.
But I find it strange. One, if you're a local sports reporter covering the Kings and you have Boogie Cousins, you have material and readers.
You've never
all the time.
He does your job for
you. Like, what's he? This reporter, who I assume makes no money,
Right.
Is saying, I wish we had a more boring, worse player.
Right.
Because, and now I will no get, like, you're not getting any more clicks.
Just assuming it's an old, constipated white dude.
Yeah.
And
so
they're all just trying to get out there and have, like, their wind horsed.
I also
kind of like
wind horse
tag along to this great epic story where this champion, you know, comes from poverty into success. No, sometimes you get lucky and cover a nutball. Yeah. Shut up and be appreciative.
I also can't imagine if I was a Kings fan hearing Joe Schmo beat reporter telling my team's best player, I don't want you to be on this team.
Right.
So then when Boogie signs somewhere else.
Deep sigh.
Yeah. Let's go to my steak and eggs. Surprise, we haven't mentioned it yet. I was going to pack a bunch of things into this, all built around Tony Allen played 48 minutes in a basketball game.
Fizdale passing the test.
Ooh.
The penitent Fizdale.
And it was a basketball game where the Golden State Warriors were beating down the Memphis Grizzlies.
18-point lead.
I almost went to bed.
Oh,
it was late. It was late. That game finished at, I want to say, 12:50 Central Time.
Magic hour.
Yeah. Anyway, in that game, overtime game, the Grizzlies came back, beat the Warriors. This is a Warriors team, I think we remember, as of last year, they had a streak. At one point, there was something like they'd won 88 straight games where they were winning by 10 points. So, anyway, the Grizzlies come from 24 down. Again, Tony Allen plays 48 of 53 possible minutes. He was a wrecking crew on his own offense and on the Warriors' offense. But, you know, he got the 6 offensive rebounds, got the 6 steals, and as John alluded to, Fizdale passed my personal test. He did not sub out Tony Allen one time for offense defense into the games. And
don't do it, Fizz.
I would point out, I'm almost certain the Grizzlies would have lost that game if he would have been subbed out because Tony Allen made 2 big offensive rebounds coming right on the stretch when they were coming out of timeouts running their plays and things broke down and then Tony got the ball. So that all fired me up.
Tony knows that you never apologize for being grit and grind.
Never apologize for being G&G.
Fast break, break, man.
Yeah. and also tied to that, again, Tony Allen is my favorite player. And actually, as we record this on Wednesday, it's his birthday.
Happy birthday, grandfather.
But
take me on riding that murder van.
It also
that's all I want for Tony Allen Christmas.
Another one of my best things is Tony Allen learned about Periscope like a week ago.
Oh.
Someone showed him Periscope and he kind of disappeared.
This will end poorly.
From social media. I don't think it will because he actually is. No. Tony Allen has way more like awareness control than like you guys.
Oh yeah.
Like when he's even talking on Periscope, he won't say hell.
Really?
He'll be like,
heck.
Like
double hockey stick.
Yeah, yeah. Like he'll stop himself with various things, but he's hilarious. And he made a big splash naming his voting for the All-Star game.
Mo Williams
and Luke Babbitt. And it was hilarious.
I think they both play for the Heat, actually.
So anyway, now every time my phone is like Tony Allen is live, I have to stop what I'm doing and just I have to watch this. And it's riveting.
Have you pulled over yet?
I haven't pulled
have
over.
You pulled that's, over to do it. That's the test.
That's the that is the true test. All right. What's the opposite of steak and eggs? What is your cream of wheat? Worst of week.
Taj Gibson, shut up. Shut up. Quit inserting Rajon Rondo back into the lineup, so making your team worse. And then when Denzel Valentine does a little dance in front of the Wizards bench, don't run all the way across court and clamor for him to come back. I don't even know if John Wall would have noticed and then torched your sorry ass, unless you had just gone screaming across the court to shame poor Denzel Washington Valentine, who had just hit his 5th three of the game and was playing great and was keeping you. You were beating the Wizards. Come on. And maybe you were right. Maybe that did offend John Wall, but we need more fun in the league. I don't want people penalized for hanging on rims or dunking on Steph Curry. Just let all the weird things happen. If Swaggy P can hump the air while shooting a 3-pointer, we should let anyone do anything at all times.
This has been a point of brought up on our Patreon only Slack chat, the hanging on the rim. I'm a firm believer that yes, hanging on the rim should not be a technical foul. Who cares?
Who cares?
Like if a guy is going to do 5 pull-ups on the rim, the other team can
run away,
can right inbound the ball and go do a 5-on-4 if they want.
It's a self-regulating,
absolutely
idiot move.
And I feel the same way about like most offensive fouls, too. If you flop trying to fake a charge, you've taken yourself out of the play, and they can just finish. We don't need a call that says you faked it.
Lets your defense reset.
Right. I mean, I'm almost... this is what I'm really, I would say, I'm kind of hung up on because I hadn't thought about it before.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a great self... Yeah, so one, it's self-regulating. Two, a lot of these times, these guys are dunking, guys are beneath them. And even if it's like a taunting thing, I guess the only way I could see it being a problem is if it's a thing where the refs feel or the league feels like hanging on the rim.
While holding a swastika or maybe a Confederate flag or something.
Yeah, right,
that seems bad.
That seems bad. No, but if it's something where like you make the opponent angry and it is a taunting thing that might lead to some altercations later, I guess that could be a problem. But no, I agree. That's not a big thing.
Joey Crawford's dead and gone. Let's move on.
Yep. What's your worst thing, Chuck?
Hey, Pablo Prigioni retired.
Boom.
I know.
No more stolen inbounds passes, boys.
Yeah. No more. Like, there needs to be a story about him, like, in similar to those. What was that movie about the old pitcher, Kevin Costner?
Rookie of the Year.
Was it?
No, For Love of the Game.
Major League 3, Back to the Minors.
Bull Durham.
But that he makes the NBA at, like, 37 years old or something.
I think he was a 35-year-old.
The best part is rookie. Chuck's definitely talking about that Dennis Quaid movie.
It might have been Dennis Quaid. It was Dennis Quaid.
I think it's just called The Rookie.
Are you thinking?
No, but wasn't there one?
Oh, the one where he plays golf?
Oh, that
Tin
was,
Cup.
Tin Cup. That was that
you're
one.
You're thinking about Tin Cup.
you're thinking of
the Sam Raimi directed.
No, I'm thinking about.
He's not thinking about the Sam Raimi one. He's thinking about the Dennis Quaid
one.
No,
I'm thinking about Robert Redford.
And no,
the tree gets hit by
Joe Don Baker is the whammer.
Yeah.
Oh well, we just did like a
Water World.
Riff on baseball.
Twitter message us every movie we just referenced,
please. You will get a T-shirt. We'll send you a T-shirt.
Yeah, we got a special prize for you. No, you're just sad that.
That's it. He's just sad. Pablo's gone.
I mean, he's like one of my.
There was a movie about a player similar to Pablo. I think it was called Eddie, starring Whoopi Goldberg. Pretty good.
No, he's a good story. He's a success story. You know, played hard for 20. He was playing professional basketball for 20 years.
Stole 4 billion inbounds passes.
All the
how many people
passes,
know that?
Single-handedly kicked out. What? I keep forgetting what was he on the Clippers when he
he messed up the Clippers when he was on the Rockets
when on the Rockets
yeah.
in right. the playoff series where he did it like right. two or three in a row
yeah
in
just
a
like
massive...
ate them for lunch. That was pretty dope.
Yeah, my cream of wheat worst...
We'll always have Prigioni insanity when he was on the Knicks.
Hey, shout out Argentina, they have really good beef,
salted gaucho meat.
Yeah. Ooh,
chimichurri
on a parrilla.
Sorry, Keith, you were saying?
My cream of wheat worst of week is the New Orleans Pelicans stole friend of the show, Mason Ginsburg, who is a Pelicans blogger, who was a guest on the show, our show, talking about the Pelicans. The NBA team, the Pelicans, stole his Twitter handle because he was running a King Cake Baby. He was at King Cake Baby.
No.
And he was doing some funny tweets.
Did he at least get paid?
When you steal something, John, do you pay the person you've stolen from?
I guess not. But sometimes when you say steal, you just mean like didn't pay nearly enough.
No. This was not an eminent domain. We will pay you $30 for your house.
Oh, no.
This was a eminent domain. He logs into one of his secondary Twitter accounts that he has a little fun with, and it said his account was suspended. And later that day, at King Cake Baby tweets, guess what, Twitter, I'm here.
Oh, man.
So
Twitter stole...
The Twitterati is real.
The Holy Pelicans damn. Contact Twitter.
Twitter's like, all right, we'll steal
this
thing.
Giant corporation, Pelicans contacts giant corporation Twitter and says, we should own this account. And their argument was, from a PR spokesperson, was this at King Cake Baby was not explicitly stating it was a parody account.
Mm-hmm.
We are so dead, guys. When Vice buys a team and calls it the Silver Lake Bacon Strips or something,
yeah,
our Twitter handle is donezo.
We're done. So, yeah, and just like that, you know, they took it. It seems like at some point, one of the reasons it bugs me is this is a Pelicans blogger. This is a guy who spends a ton of hours and effort promoting one of the smallest market NBA teams, one of the least popular NBA teams. This guy, he does the Bourbon Street Shots. Like, he's the editor over there. So this guy is a Pelican blogger who's doing a lot to spread the word of the Pelicans. And they're just like, well, let's not even look into who owns this thing. Let's just take this from this person.
Yeah.
And so like, That's pretty. That's some garbage work. I mean,
the Pelicans are owned by Tom Benson, right?
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Case closed.
And Mason even says, like, he's not really angry about it, and he would have given it to them if they asked, but they didn't even ask. They just took it.
So yeah. I think we should
pretty down on that.
I think we should be activists in this and start a hashtag.
Free King Cake Baby?
Hashtag F the King Cake Baby.
Yeah, coming for you, King Cake Baby. Well, see, and that's the other
I'm thing. Not messing with that King Cake Baby.
It's so frightening.
That's the other thing.
Chuck looks like if he shaves his beard and takes his shirt off.
He's so true.
He's awful.
Right.
And that's the other thing is we love the King Cake Baby. We keep complimenting how hilarious and scary and great it is.
So awful. So
looks now like Chuck on drugs, I'm telling you.
So now I have all this negative
put me at Bonnaroo
publicity
that's
around
the King
it.
Cake Baby.
Mm-hmm. It really is no good. All right. Hassan Whiteside cocks it back to Waffle House presents Scattered, Smothered, Covered Thoughts. What else is going on in the league? I want to shout out James Johnson for his...
he put it all over Steph.
Cocked that joint back and...
Man!
Hammed on that. Was it hammered on the boy?
Nah, Dwight Howard sort of dunked him.
Cocked that joint back.
Oh, Dwight Howard dabbed on Jeremy Lin.
Oh, I saw that too.
And Brooklyn booed.
It's over when Dwight Howard is dabbing, boys and girls.
It's over.
That's the last dab that was cool. The last dab that was cool was the dab right before that one.
There's also that little... Did you see the kid at the Bucks game?
No, what'd he do?
There's this little kid at the Bucks game. And
was this the kid who wanted to dance but then did not want to dance?
He went to dance at like a halftime show, and they had a dance contest between three kids. And he started wanting to dance. He first did a dab and then was immediately sad, covered his face, did another sad dab, covered his face, looked the saddest. He was probably 11.
Also sounds like Chuck at Bonnaroo.
Right when the... right when like it seemed like he was just thrown out there and had no intention of being... looked at the point in your life when you think everyone's looking at you.
Yeah.
LeBron James hasn't won a game in Utah since his first Miami Heat year. Chuck, does that warm your heart at all?
Yeah.
In 2011.
I've never met a Mormon I didn't like.
Rudy Gobert is the answer to how to solve the Cavs riddle.
Oh, yes. Big, big Rudy G, Stifle Tower.
Gordon Hayward also has amazing games against them.
I think a ton of it is, I feel like, it's like if you're, I'm trying to think of the right analogy. It's something as in, what if I'm playing a video game and I can beat this board without having to fight the really hard thing? Which is like, LeBron's like, I have to go play in Utah once a year. I'm going to make the NBA finals.
Right.
Why do I need to play against this really, like this, the, like you guys, you are annoying.
Yeah,
like,
it's like, just an annoying
like
thing.
Like this team tries so hard and just grabs and fights. You know what? I don't care.
Yeah.
Murderface gets them going.
Yeah.
And that's their, you know, that it is a testament to
the Jazz play hard in
Snyder.
Preseason.
Yeah, they do play hard.
They play hard all the time.
But they, and they're built, you know, for the length Hayward has and Gobert, and they have a big front line. They could mess with LeBron pretty
much. Also, it helps that Rodney Hood came out of his 20-game slump.
I did think it was funny when the Jazz lost to the Grizzlies that Rodney Hood finally had a bad game, which let, I think, Grizzlies fans.
A bad game. Rodney Hood has been having so many bad games.
Well, I know, but I'm saying, like, normally he just destroys the Grizzlies.
Right.
And Grizzlies fans feeding into that, we took Jordan Adams instead of Rodney Hood.
Yeah.
So Grizzlies fans, a lot of them, we have a too high opinion of Rodney Hood because he looks amazing.
Gotcha.
We're like, he's not actually that player. So I think the Grizzlies finally got to see the regular kind of Rodney Hood.
I do think he's pretty good. It's just kind of a devastating slump for a while.
No. He's... Again, he's a very solid player. I've argued before he might actually be overrated by a lot of people, but you know,
I think he's good.
He's just in that in that pretty good. Like if he was better, the Jazz. I mean, this sounds like a really idiotic, redundant phrase, but like if he was better, the Jazz would be way better.
Mm-hmm.
Like they need him to be more consistent, right. Have that scoring punch. Like his best skill is knocking down 18-footers and 20-footers type thing.
Hasn't been doing that lately.
Yeah, and it should be more if he was a better 3-point shooter, and creator. They are still 9-1 when Hayward and George Hill play, but
George Hill is the father. He's the daddy.
He's everything for them. But
he was a great addition.
But I am still kind of losing some of this like 2-year faith I've had in them becoming maybe like legit
elite.
52 win or something.
I like how you're losing the faith right when like the mainstream media is like the Jazz are the best.
That's how
like
I
dead,
roll.
Dead spins. Right. Dead spins, putting them on the front page, etc. Yeah.
I'm curious what you guys think about the Atlanta Hawks traded Kyle Korver to the Cavaliers.
Ooh. I don't think about it. There you have it.
Okay. Well, I'm curious. There was talk that the Hawks were starting to unload their assets. We're maybe going to get started. They were listening to offers for Paul Millsap. They've since recanted and said, no, we're not. You know, Paul Millsap is not on the market, even though that's assuming GM speak for give me your best offers.
Give me more money.
I want the draft pick.
Right. I'm not, you can't have him.
I don't want Goran Dragic.
I won't. Right. I don't want Jared Sellinger. Right. And, you know, the 27th pick. I'm curious, what do you think, though, if they actually are trading off their assets while being the 4 seed in the East, does that make sense to you? Or is that just them accepting we're not going to make the finals and we want to maybe build towards a title team later?
I don't know what they're thinking. It seems like they have some sort of vision of helping the Cavaliers win, though. It's like, why would you, if you, they don't care about this season, obviously. But why would you not even try to get somewhat better when you are the 4th seed? It's mind-boggling. I have no idea.
Well, I think if they have a vision for the future, it's similar to like that that crazy Batman versus Superman vision with like the flying demon things or whatever those were. John, that's a comic book. Are you? Can you shed light on
the? Oh, those are the parademons.
Yeah.
They're from the evil planet Apocalypse. There you have it.
What universe is Apocalypse from?
That's the DC universe. That would be Darkseid's planet of evil.
So not the Apocalypse from the Marvel universe.
Nope. This is spelled with a K and an IP and lips at the end.
Okay, good. I'm glad we clarified that.
I can keep doing this if you want. This does not have to end.
I mean, I do think there's something to be said that actually Korver was secretly bad.
That's what I think. I don't think they're trading an asset.
Yeah.
Like, they've gotten much better play out of Thabo Sefolosha. They want to see what Taurean Prince and DeAndre Bembry can do. Korver wasn't playing well. Why not trick the Cavs into giving them stuff for him?
Right. I mean,
they get anything.
I know their GM's like really busy insulting black women and stuff like that. His own black women family. I don't know. But I just don't think. I think the Korver thing, like he's a nicer piece for the Cavs than he is for the Hawks at this point. I think
that makes sense.
It does, but I don't think I don't think Atlanta got anything back. So what is
but
it?
I mean, they got a 2019 first, and you know that's like that's could something. Be something.
It's going to be nothing because they're going to be in the finals
more,
for the next 3 years.
Mike Dunleavy Jr.
One more bite of the apple.
Yeah,
he refused. You know, you might get lucky with a.
Did he even clear waiver or the physical to play? Dunleavy, has he left his house?
I did love all the reports that
they had a good meeting.
Dunleavy has made peace.
Yes.
Well, then it was really funny also because Woj was tweeting like the trade is agreed to. The Hawks are actively trying to get rid of Dunleavy, just looking for takers. I'm like, this is awkward. Like Mike Dunleavy's a human being. He's out there just like, no one, guys, anybody? Like, Giannis hates me.
He's fallen a long way from the popular coach's son.
Yep.
He had a long meeting with Budenholzer, and everything is fine now.
Mm-hmm. In that awesome Grizzlies comeback against the Warriors, Zach Randolph off the bench.
Preach.
Had 27 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists.
That's who they should have been mad with, Z-Bo.
They should have been mad at a lot of people. I guess we'll talk about it in our Grizzlies epilogue, but Kevin Durant did some crazy things. He was getting double teamed by Tony Allen was leaving Steph Curry to double team Kevin Durant. Whoa. And Kevin Durant was not throwing the ball back to Steph Curry, who was wide open. Mm-hmm. And then that end of regulation play where Draymond was so angry because they were supposed to run a pick and roll. And like Kevin Durant demanded the ball, had Z-Bo on isolation and didn't dribble.
Right. He did a pull up. And yeah. They were up at the time and it would have been a dagger, but it's not smart basketball.
So that would have, that's no good. Anyway, Zach Randolph off the bench had 27, 11 boards, 6 assists since 83-84. Thanks, basketball reference.
No.
Oh, John sees where this
Dinklage,
is going.
Peter Dinklage.
Since 1983-84, only 23 players, or 24 counting Zach Randolph, have scored at least 25 points, had 10 rebounds, and 5 assists off the bench. So, your game of scones.
All right, I'm going first.
Is, well, you know, name the other 23 players who have
25, 10, and 5.
A 25, 10, and 5 off the bench. And this is a hilarious Once again, I will say this is very difficult. There are a handful.
Keith, it's impossible.
No, well, there's a handful of obvious
ones. I've got one.
Handful of obvious ones, but this is definitely a mismatch of horrible players and Hall of Famers. Okay, John seems very excited.
Kevin McHale.
Kevin McHale is absolutely correct. He did it twice. Chuck.
Give me Rasheed Wallace.
No. I like your guess, though.
Michael Thompson.
No. One strike apiece.
Son of a...
Give me... Ron Harper.
I like the guess, but no.
Drew Gooden.
Drew Gooden, no.
What? The triple-double king on the... Oh, come on. All right. At least one triple-double year on the worst team imaginable.
Why do we always do this?
These are difficult. I mean, again...
It's your turn, Chuck.
There are a few Hall of Famers here.
Yep.
Sometimes guys were hurt and came off the bench.
Yeah, I know. It's like a...
It's a bit of a
tricky,
little
tricky
hint.
One.
Isaiah Thomas.
Nope. So Chuck is eliminated.
I'm going to go with Lakers era Karl Malone.
No.
Damn.
Interesting guess. All right, let's...
James Worthy.
Here's some random ones. This is six man for the Sonics, Glory Day Sonics in the 90s.
Cedric Ceballos?
No.
Sixth man would be... It's not even Thunder Dan.
No.
The sixth man for those Sonics teams with Peyton
Chuck
and
Pearson.
Kemp.
I thought you said Suns. I'm sorry.
Sonics.
Sixth man would be Detlef Schrempf.
Detlef Schrempf did it six times.
Yeah, Detlef.
Here's some random ones. So John wins that difficult game of scones. Two current Nuggets have done it. Two current Nuggets.
Wilson Chandler?
Wilson Chandler has
Kenneth
done
Fareed?
It. Kenneth
Fareed? No. Danilo?
No. This people think
Will Barton.
Yeah, Will Barton.
Oh, good one. Yeah.
Six men. The other guys, I'll run through them all. They're kind of fun. Thurl Bailey. JJ.
Thurl Bailey.
JJ.
Was he involved in Watergate?
Yeah. JJ Barea, Charles Barkley, Larry Bird. This will blow your minds. Andre Blatch. Charles Davis, Tony Delk, Clyde Drexler, Mike Dunleavy, Dale Ellis, Mark Jackson. The point guard.
That's a lot more guards than I would have figured.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Was that Suns era?
Anthony Randolph. Cliff Robinson. J.R. Smith. Kenny Thomas. A man named Jay Vincent, who I actually have no idea who that is. John Williams. John Hot Rod Williams. And Terrence
Williams. Hot Plate Williams.
That was a purposely difficult or unknowingly difficult.
Are you just doing it to make us mad now? Or frustrate us?
I think it's fun for the listeners.
He didn't like what I was wearing when I showed up.
You mean it does
there's a
garroting
yeah
to come.
I just don't get. We might as well just be guessing social security numbers.
I'm taking my win.
Yeah, John nailed his first guess.
I think you got to get more than one answer right to win in this game.
I got Detlef Schrempf.
If
after
the other
clues.
Person got no answers right,
I got Detlef Schrempf.
You got to win by two, bruh.
I got Detlef Schrempf after one fake clue and one real clue.
We don't keep track of these win loss, but we might need to get a. You have to get two to get them right.
You got
to
get two. You got to win by two.
I feel like when you got none.
Yeah. Right, you got to win by two.
We'll get some listeners on here to see how they can fare.
Got it.
With these difficult game of scones.
I'm afraid of that.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and move ahead to the awards segment of the evening. The International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award. This is given each week to the worst performance in a box score. This week only have one honorable mention. That's Emmanuel Mudiay going 0-9. We have three nominees.
He had one good game in the past month.
He is not playing very much for the suddenly poor, very poor Nuggets. Maybe they can shake out of their tail. Maybe a trip to London is exactly what this team needs. Heads up, they're playing a game at like 2 p.m. on Thursday.
Maybe a trip to the free agent coaching market is exactly what they need.
All right, we have three nominees this week presented chronologically. Al Horford and a win against the Pelicans. Went 3-18. He did have 8 points, 8 assists, and 7 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 turnovers. Jamal Crawford in a win versus Miami Heat was 1-12. 2 points, one rebound, one assist, two turnovers. And then Dion Waiters, in a return, went 4-for-17 in a loss to the Warriors. 4-for-17. He had 8 points, what I assume is a career high, 8 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals, and 1 turnover. So Al Horford, 3-for-18, 8 points, 7 boards, 8 assists. Jamal Crawford, 1-for-12, 2 points, who I think is the obvious winner. Dion Waiters, 4-for-17, 8 points, 8 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals.
Crawford's on my fantasy team. And I
how's that going?
Shuddered.
Yeah.
I need 3-point shooting in our rotisserie.
Can I trade you Brook Lopez?
I'll go with Dion Waiters in a starting role.
Just to make it exciting.
And that's just, that's what Jamal does. Say, sometimes they go in, sometimes they do not go in.
I know this is not in the box score, but I watched a good bit of that Heat Warriors game.
Yeah.
Dion Waiters was chucking.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that like Dragic, Tyler Johnson, James Johnson
were
all playing very well and all beating their men.
That's another reason I'm doing it. I also saw that game, and Dion Waiters lost that game.
Yeah, because they were close towards the end. Dion kept checking.
Yeah, once again, the very little awareness from Dion Waiters. But Jamal Crawford, yes, you are the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award winner this week. All right, par fadeaway. What things are we looking forward to in the coming week?
More NBA vote.
Oh, the NBA vote's so good.
All the homies voting for each other. That's so... You know what bothers me most about it? And it'll probably lead to another apology. But Carmelo, just... And Chris Paul, to an extent, kind of like piggybacking on like being homies with LeBron and Wade. Like, yeah, we're as good as them. Don't forget. Yeah, they have championships and actually did things like win MVPs and finals MVPs. But we're going to... Just tag along and have them call us out on their Twitter so people think we're in the same league as them. They're not. Chris Paul and they can't touch those.
Chris Paul's pretty amazing.
Chris Paul's pretty awesome.
But he's there. But what is he?
We didn't get to this. Actually,
he's not a champion. That's what I'm saying. I love it.
Easy. Bayless.
He's not a champion.
Ugh.
What do we think of the Clippers? Can we just not judge them while I think this whole season's going by?
I think they're pretty good still.
I mean, they were amazing for 2 weeks.
It's a roller coaster.
And then their bench was no good anymore. And
they'll stick Raymond Felton at shooting forward, small forward, and they'll still be pretty good.
I mean, yeah.
They've got they're a tough team to bet against, and when they round into shape, I think they'll be a contender.
Yeah, I still can't make heads or tail. You remember them being so good, but now it's been like a month.
Don't you think they'll pick someone up too somehow, some way?
Maybe.
They'll do some sneaky backroom shenanigans. Paul Pierce's buddies will come to town.
Hollis Thompson's just floating out there.
Also true.
Free agent Hollis Thompson.
Ooh. I'm looking forward to that Magic Jazz over-under of 155 defensive showdown.
Is that real?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Schadenfreude Saturday.
Which
let's watch that game together, boys. 8 p.m. Central. No points will be scored.
what does your betting gut pushing you?
Usually lose, I'll take the over.
Right. I can't. I mean, so Vegas is basically saying neither team will score 80 points.
I don't know what the over-under is yet, but it's going to be funny.
Okay.
Because those two teams don't let the other team score.
I thought it was 155.
Nor are they very good at scoring.
Right.
It should be fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and take the over. I think it might be one of those weird games where they just light it up.
Yeah, usually they do like 205 or something.
Where Alfred Payton just gets it on.
Alfred Payton makes shots.
Yep. My par fadeaway is, I think, for maybe the third week in a row, Grizzlies watch party, January
18th. Yeah.
Just being a company man, just spreading that word.
Whiz bang.
We are at Edley's East at 6 p.m. If you are in the Nashville area, come to Edley's East next Wednesday, January 18th, to watch the Washington Wizards. We've won 10 games in a row at home.
Indeed.
Washington Wizards. We are probably maybe the 15th best team in the league.
John, the Monster Wall.
Yeah, the Wizards are totally respectable.
Throw out that Grizz trip, too.
Oh, and then, again, if you are in the Nashville area, we're taking a bus to the Grizzlies game from Nashville on January 21st. You can also, if you join, you get a controversial Grizzlies 615. That's the area code of Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
non-local listeners. Memphis fans not always happy to be have anything Grizzlies associated with Nashville.
Why can't we all just get along?
No one knows. It's because of IKEA, John. Because of IKEA.
Always blame the Swedes.
All right, stick around for a brief Grizzlies epilogue. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast, if you want more content and want to support us that way. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter @fastbreakbreak. All right, you guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing. All right, welcome to a quick Grizzlies epilogue. We're not going to do too much because you are going to hear this after they play the
big Thunder, game.
The big game, the big revenge game for the Thunder.
I want to seem like a soothsayer and say the Thunder's, they actually do exact that revenge, because can we really stop Westbrook that many times? That's the worst I've ever seen play last time.
Yeah, the Grizzlies did a great job shutting him down. I will say it's been a weird stretch of games. Last week was obviously awesome because you come back on the Warriors in that historic game, and then you
I don't know, man. Even the Warriors win didn't take away the sheer pain of that Clippers loss.
Yeah, losing to the Lakers and the Clippers was horrific. Oh. And I think I told you guys that the Clippers loss was the first time all year that I felt wounded. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt bad.
Yeah.
I was upset the Grizzlies lost that game.
I think Conley was shaving points.
Your wound should be healed by the knowledge that the Memphis Grizzlies are America's team.
Whoa. Everyone loves them.
Everyone loves them. They love how they've beaten the Warriors twice in two very specifically heartbreaking fashions. One, with their throat on their necks the whole game. The other, erasing a fourth quarter deficit of magnificent proportions. Guys, everyone loves the Grizz. They're the one team in the NBA.
Thanks, Chuck. That was very heartwarming.
Get around. We all love them.
They are, and also Tom Haberstroh had this stat, which I heard on Dunked On, was the Grizzlies are 10-2 when trailing by 1 or 3 points in the final minute of a game.
So clutch this year.
That doesn't make any sense. That just doesn't make any sense. And it is funny that I feel like those two, I know you can't take out the two good wins. Those two Warriors wins, without those, there's just like a totally different view on this season,
right,
in my mind. Like,
needed them badly because it's about to get really tough.
Right. They're still in this incredibly tough stretch of games. They've already outperformed my expectations for, you know, famously.
I think you had them winning three games the rest of the year. So
right. and they beat that, but like they beat the Jazz on Sunday at home. That was the Jazz's fifth game in 7 nights. So I feel like they have all these kind of qualifiers on some of the good wins. But those Warriors games are just crazy.
Yeah,
where you know, so
hey, we got the Rockets coming up, and those games are always really strange too. So usually do very well against the Rockets.
The Grizzlies have beaten the good teams, and it's almost what we expect of like we've expected from the Grizzlies for last several years.
Yeah,
where they just play down to their competition, but they do get up and win games, and so you feel good about them, and it's kind of fun. Also, Iowa Energy got a new coach. I'm just kidding. We're not going to talk about that. But that is, hey, Twitter.
Is it Bill Laimbeer?
Twitter follower Glenn Ciprian. Congratulations. All right, you guys, thanks for checking out the brief Grizzlies epilogue. Go Grizz. You guys are the best. Thanks for listening.
Arrive safely.
Yeah, never apologize for being G&G. Fast break, man. You understand?